Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning worship service. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 227. We'll sing, Come, Let Us Worship and Bow Down. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We praise you that we can trust him with everything. We thank you that he is the good shepherd, that we are the sheep of his pasture. We follow him. And Father, we pray that even in this hour, as we think on him, think on you, listen to your word and hear it preached, sing these praises, that our hearts will grow in trust and faith in all that you are doing in our lives, both the good, the easy times, the happy times, and the challenges that face us all, that we would trust him all the more as we look forward to that day when he's going to come back and take us home. Father, we're looking forward to that day. We are his bridegroom, awaiting him to come and call for us. It might be today, it might be this hour, but whenever it is, we pray that we will be ready to see him, rejoicing and following him and trusting him fully until that day comes. Bless this hour, we pray. Bless the pastor as he brings the word, fill him with your spirit and us as well. As we receive the word, may it bear fruit in each heart. Thank you for all who are here today, and we pray that this time will be a tremendous blessing for you and for all of us here as your people. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Book of Acts, once again, and we're at, chapter 4, and verse 31. We're going to start there and read through 5:16. Chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. Lord, we just thank you for the way in which you have worked in such a marvelous way in the church from the very beginning until today. And we are still here as your people seeking to do your will. And we thank you so much for your marvelous love, grace, and mercy to us. Lord, you know how often we fail, how often we stumble, and we pray that you will help us along the way to continue on and not give up. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us to help us in every situation of life. We think of those who are ill today. We pray that you will touch and strengthen them. We pray for those who have difficult problems of one type or another. We just thank you for answering our prayers. Think of Jane Wagner, Lord, we prayed for her to find a suitable place where she would be at peace, and I believe she's found it. And I pray that you will just continue to bless her life. We pray for Nancy Ford, that she'll be raised up and her hip will heal. We pray for others, our Father. We thank you for the missionaries that are here with us today, this missionary family, the March family. We just thank you for them and for their work in France, what they've been doing and what they will continue to do, talk about here while they're in the United States. And we just ask your blessings upon them and upon all that they do. And Lord, we ask you to lead each one of us. Help me as I seek to bring forth your word and teach your word. May it speak to our hearts. May we be encouraged. And may we be warned not to take advantage, dear Father, of your goodness. Because you are sovereign in all your ways. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. And not to do anything that would displease you. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Lead us and guide us and help us. Lord, we think today of the situation over in Israel. We pray for that war. Lord, help Israel to overcome their enemies and to continue to be able to maintain their sovereignty. We pray, dear Father, for Ukraine, the situation there. We know one of our missionaries has such a burden for the Ukraine people. And we just pray that they might be able to go back and serve you there as well. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us today. Lead us and help us in all that we do that we might be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. It is wonderful to be a part of the family of God, isn't it? That's what it's all about. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and having our brothers and sisters all around us. How wonderful it is. This morning we want to look at this portion of Scripture that we read and see an honest look at the church, especially here, the early church, the church at Jerusalem, and what it was like. You know, the Bible is a very unusual book in that it does not distort the truth in any way. It presents the good, the bad, and the ugly. Right? It's all there for us to see. God doesn't shade anything over. So in the passage we read today, we see the church in Jerusalem. First of all, we find them here in verse 31. As Peter and John had come back from healing the lame man and told them all of the punishment that they had received and the persecution, the church gathered together in prayer and united together in prayer and filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. This united together. That's what it takes, isn't it? To be united in heart and mind, not, you know, divided. It's terrible, it's such a terrible thing when a church is divided. You have all different kinds of ideas, and people are not even thinking about what God wants or anything else. They are wanting their own way. And we see some of these people in the early church. It's interesting to think. You would think that the early church would have been perfect, right? And yet it worked. It worked. And yet God was working. And here they are proclaiming the word of God. That's the work of the church. And in spite of the persecution that they were enduring and the opposition of the religious leaders. You know, we sometimes are tempted, aren't we, to present the good side and leave off the bad? Huh? You ever think about that? We have a tendency to accentuate the positive, minimize the negative. But God's Word is always balanced, and it presents a true picture of both the good and the bad. And the story, the story told, I've told this before, but anyway, I'll tell it again, of Oliver Cromwell. You know, one time he was a protector of England, right? And they commissioned a painter to paint his portrait. And so he wanted to do the best job he could. So Oliver Cromwell had warts on his face, you know? And this painter said, well, I'll just have to remove those warts. You know, he doesn't want those things showing. And yet, when Cromwell saw the picture, he said, take it away and paint me, warts and all. See, that's what God does. You know, he presents a person and all of their beauty and their splendor and then also their faults, their failures. And he doesn't try to hide anything. The Bible gives us the truth. Now we can depend upon that. So here we find that, first of all, this church, it was a great church. This was, these people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? You don't get better than that. I don't think. And they were proclaiming the word of God with boldness. And it says the multitude that believed were of one heart and of one soul. United together, the greatness of the church. They were united together in love for the Lord and for each other. And isn't that what Jesus told us? That's the most important thing. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love one another. And here, this church was doing that, the multitude of them. That makes you think, you know, well, maybe there were some that weren't. Apparently, that's true. From what we see in the rest of the story, they were not all united together. But most of them were. The multitude of them were seeking to do the will of God. They were united in love, and their mutual faith in Jesus led them to care for one another. We find here, you know, they call this a picture of early communism, but it's not communism. You know, these people were concerned for one another. They had a love for each other. And so they were willing to part with some of their possessions in order to help others. That's what it's all about here. It says that great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. You know, I'm glad that in my Bible, over and over again, in this passage, it speaks of great power, great grace, great fear, great, all kinds of great. Everything is great. Right? And yet, we find problems. Problems in the church. But here, they willingly shared what they had with each other. As it says, those who had possessions sold them, and they gave to others because they had a special need. And you remember what had happened here? It was we had not long ago Pentecost. In fact, I looked it up. Today, on the church calendar, those who are the high church, this is Pentecost Sunday. And here they're speaking about the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And here they are concerned for each other and seeking to help each other to do the very best they can. They willingly shared what they had, and no one lacked. You know, that's not bad, is it? I mean, like I said, it's not communism. You know what communism is. And we're seeing more and more of what communism is like, right? We don't care for that. And yet, we should care for one another. You know, let's get the good point. Right? Be concerned for each other in whatever way we can be, right? And seek to help each other so that no one lacks. And that's what they're saying here in this early church. One of the great points that it has is that they cared for each other and they saw to it that no one was suffering from a lack of food or clothing or whatever, and seeking to make their needs sufficient. Okay, so they were sharing, and they were seeking to do this. And great power was manifested through their witness. You know, it's wonderful when you get to proclaim a message, and God actually works. Huh? I think it does happen. Sometimes, doesn't it? Other times, it just seems to fall flat. But no, he says, great power. The apostles were witnessing of the resurrection. Why wouldn't that be a powerful message? To think that Jesus Christ came forth from the grave. You know, we hear that so much that it becomes blasé, as they say. Right? But Jesus is alive. Amen. He came forth from the grave. And because he lives, we shall live also. Mm-hmm. I want to think of that. And new life. And people were being saved. You remember on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. Later, there were 2,000 more, 5,000. And it speaks here of the multitude meeting together, worshiping the Lord, and proclaiming the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and it says, great grace was upon them all. I have a song here. It's an old song. I don't know how to sing it, so I won't try to sing it, but I'm going to read the words. It says, grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my wandering feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour I meet while pressing on to God. Grace taught my soul to pray, and made mine eyes overflow. 'Twas grace which kept me to this day, and will not let me go. Oh, let thy grace inspire my soul with strength divine. May all my powers to thee aspire, and all my days be thine. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. Thank God for his marvelous grace that he continues to shower upon us day by day. You know, we're saved by grace. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. But it also teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, the grace of God. And it's wonderful to realize that this grace is all sufficient for our needs. And we find here, among these people, there was one that points out, down in verse 36, as an example of those who were helping others and doing what they did, a great example here of generosity and of a Christian spirit. His name was Joseph. And it says, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas. Now, Barnabas means the son of consolation, or exhortation, or encouragement. He was an encourager. He was someone who constantly helped people in their needs and did all that he could to help them. Here we find it says that he was a Levite. He was of the priestly tribe originally. And he lived in the country of Cyprus on this island. And he had some land, and he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here he's doing this out of the generosity of his own heart and doing what he can to help others. You know, Barnabas lived up to his name. He was always encouraging other people and exhorting them to serve the Lord. Look with me, if you would, into Acts chapter 11 for a moment. Acts chapter 11. And beginning here at verse 22, it says, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So here we see Barnabas, this disciple, and in the church at Jerusalem, they recognized his gifts and sent him onto the mission field, the city of Antioch, and he proclaimed the gospel, and many, many people were saved. But not only that, he's the one who went and found the Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He's the one who got him started in the ministry and brought him back to Antioch where he served there. What a wonderful thing that was, right? Barnabas was always helping others. When they had a disagreement one time, you remember John Mark went with Paul and Silas? Not Silas. Who was I talking about? Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. And He went with them to a certain place, and then, for some reason, he returned to Jerusalem. He quit. He left. And the next time they were going to go out on a preaching tour, Barnabas said, "Hey, let's take Mark with us, you know. He needs to go with us and to work." And Paul said, "Absolutely not. We're not going to have anything to do with him anymore because he's a quitter." He didn't stick with us. And so they have a big argument, Barnabas and Paul. And Barnabas took Mark and went one way to Cyprus. And Paul took Silas and went another way. And in this way, you know, God has a way of working. Here we had one missionary team going out, and now we have two. So they got doubled their efforts, even though perhaps it wasn't the best circumstance, having a disagreement like that, but God worked it all out for them. You know, very little was said about Barnabas here in chapter 4, but as I said, in other parts of the book of Acts, he comes in once and again, and God used him in a mighty way in all the work that he was doing. Here he's presented as one who was generous and who was carrying out the love of Christ to other people. And then we see in contrast to that. That's the good part, the good example. Now we see the bad example. Beginning in chapter 5, it says, "But," is a contrast. "A certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife." Okay, this is another couple. As far as we know, they were believers. It doesn't say they weren't. They were in the church, and they were seeking to, I guess, live a righteous life. But we find that they had the wrong attitude about some of the things in their life. Now the word Ananias in the Hebrew means "God is gracious." God is gracious. That's certainly true, isn't it? And this man carried that name with him. Sapphira means, in one language it means beautiful, another one it means sapphire. So anyway, it was a jewel. Right? A real, no doubt, beautiful lady. And here, this couple saw what Barnabas did in giving away his property, his land, and so forth. So they decided that they would see if they couldn't do that as well. Why? Why was this a sin? Huh? You know, it wasn't that they were robbing God. It says that in verse 4, it says, "While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own power?" You know, God didn't require this. "Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but you lied unto God." That's it. They were lying unto God. They had the wrong attitude. And the reason that they were doing this was not honorable. It was allowing Satan to deceive them. Huh? That's what he said. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep that part of the price of the land? Is God so picky that he demands everything? Not God. But when you say you're giving something to God, then you need to do it. Don't lie to God. Right? Tell him the truth. We were talking about vowing this morning in Ecclesiastes. It says when you bow a vow unto God, make sure that you keep it. Because God has no pleasure in fools. It's foolish to promise something to God that you are not going to do. And we look at Ananias and Sapphira as an extreme example. Both of them ended up dead. Hopefully, It was only physical death, and that they were really believers, and they went to be with the Lord. But certainly, it was a dire consequence, wasn't it? Think about that. That because they lied to God. It says here several times, you lied to the Holy Ghost. You lied to God, and you're going to be punished because of it. Now, you know, when we stop and think about it, you know, do we lie to God? Ooh, how many times do we say something not realizing what we're saying, right? It's easy to do. And we need to be very careful to make sure that we don't have that kind of attitude, that we put ourselves above the will of God. You know, like it's like Eve, you remember? Satan whispered in her ear, serpent. Oh, God wouldn't show me do that. He wouldn't put you to death because you disobeyed. And persuaded her to go ahead. And that's what Peter says happened here. Satan put this idea in your mind. Hey, Barnabas received all this acclaim and reputation for being such a nice fellow. We want that too. And so he gave them this temptation and they took it. But as one preacher said, he said, it's not a good idea to lie to God. And that's certainly true. So reverence to God was greatly increased here because of this. We see, first of all, Ananias just dropped over dead. I don't know. What did he do? Did he have a heart attack? Or what was it? I don't know. But anyhow, God knows. And anyway, his life was terminated. And then they take him down the grave. It says that they, I like the King James here, it says that they wound him up and took him out. You know, you see that picture? Anyway, that's not funny. But anyway, and then the wife comes in, and Peter asks her, did you settle the land for this lesson? Oh, yeah, this is all. We're giving everything to Jesus. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. He said, you know, that's it. The 3 hours later, she came in, and he said, yes. Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? The young men come in, wrap her up, and take her out as well. It sounded like, wow. Think of that. And, but as a result of all this, it says great fear came upon all them that heard it. Well, you can imagine. Huh? Don't go near that church. Hey, you know. They dropped over dead. And even those outside the church were afraid to even go there because of what was happening. It says, and verse 11 says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And this is, I read it, this is the first time that the word church is mentioned in the book of Acts. These believers had met together. And here it's talking about the assembly, the church, the ecclesia. And a great fear came upon all of them because of what had happened. And upon as many as heard these things. And they began to reverence God even more. So God received honor and glory even from this tragic event. So we see the church made up of all kinds of people. Some that are sincere, seeking to serve Him. Others that may want to serve themselves. Some that think, well, it'll help me to get my business going better. You know. I joined the church, that kind of thing. No. He says, don't trifle with God. Be sincere, be honest, be true, and serve Him faithfully. Great fear came upon all of them. And then he goes on to talk about what the apostles were doing. They continued to serve, reaching out, and in that day, of course, they had all of this power in the early church for healing and all the other things that they were doing. And it said that believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. They had a great revival, we would say, right? More and more people coming to Christ and seeing the church develop and be strong. And God was moving in a very special way. You know, no church is perfect. But the Lord does expect His people to be honest and obedient, to love one another, and to work together to bring glory to His name. Each one of us has a role to fill in the church, a place where we can serve our Savior. You know, we all need to work together that we might be able to accomplish what God has done for us, that we might be faithful in honoring Him and in magnifying His name. Our Father, we thank You so much this morning for our church. Thank You for our people. We thank You for each and every one and pray that You'll work in all of us and help us to be faithful and true. May we love one another. May we love You. May we serve You. And may You fill us with Your Holy Spirit and use us for Your glory and for Your name's sake. May we see more accomplished, our Father, as we seek to honor You and magnify Your name. Keep us from sin. Keep us, dear Father, in Your hand. May we look to You and find the strength that we need to keep on going. Thank You for all Your blessings to us. Guide us and lead us, we pray. In Jesus' name.
That You can seal to each of our hearts what we have heard today, the challenge of the passage, and the joy of the salvation that we have in Christ. Thank You, Father, for Your forgiveness and Your love and Your mercy, and also Your hand of discipline as we learn from all of these things. And may we walk in the light that You have already purchased for us, that we are in Christ. May we walk in that by His Spirit and know Your joy and peace in believing. Use us, we pray, this week as we head out from this place. You would use us to bring honor and glory to Your name and to bring many others to faith in Christ. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you.